You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. I'm Mo Brady. Today on the podcast, we share part of a conversation with Octet's Margot Seibert. In this conversation, our sister podcast, Page to Stage, talks to Margot about her work in the Drama Desk award-winning ensemble of Octet. Hosted by Mary Dina and Brian Sedita, Page to Stage features excellent conversations with theater makers. We are big fans of this up-and-coming podcast and are so grateful to them for letting us share a portion of their conversation with Margot. Enjoy.
I dance like a beautiful fool one time, sometime. The twilight.
There had been two workshops. I was only part of the second workshop of Octet. And it, I mean, talk about like the most intimidating thing. I mean, again, as I said, I hinted to earlier, I'm a sight singer. I'm a sight singer, but sometimes I go with what I think should be on the page and not exactly what's on the page. I don't have any music theory. And I was in that room with an incredibly talented group of people, I would say at least half of which have like a deep music theory. And that seemed very helpful. And so it was
good for them.
Good for them. And so I honestly felt like in that first workshop, and I don't mean this in any kind of negative way, it was a bit every person for themselves in the sense that my part is so difficult and your part is so difficult. And when we put the two of them together, it's literally like, what on earth is happening? That we would, I mean, we would be rehearsing. I would rehearse, come home after the after rehearsal for the workshop and rehearse for an additional 4 hours. And we didn't know how we were going to get our pitches at that point. So we were still being guided by our music director, or he was occasionally accompanying us. But I mean, Dave's writing is not easy. It's beautiful, and that's what makes it so incredible. But it was not an easy learn.
And how long did you guys have as far as like the rehearsal development process goes?
Oh, well, I think that, so the workshop was like 2 weeks, but then when we were at Signature, I want to say we had like something ridiculous, 4 weeks. Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't 4 weeks, it felt like 4 weeks, but it could not have been more than five. I'm almost positive it was four. So we had 1 week that they tacked on before the show began, a few weeks before before rehearsals began, where we got together and tried to review what we had done in the workshop.
Based on memory
and what was still there. And then like, I mean, we had Orr and Simone on our music team, and they sent us like an individual track for every single number, for every single part. So the idea was that we had so little time to really learn this music, let alone put it on our feet and be able to sing and then move at all while doing it, that it was almost imperative. We had a chat very early on in rehearsal that said, basically, you need to be off book by like a week. We know we still didn't have all the music written, or Dave didn't have all the music in yet. So I know we're starting rehearsals, but like you should be off book. So it was very hard. It was very hard. And that is like where the family, I think, truly began.
It's like this very unique experience that a very select group of people are in. So that kind of just like draws you together as a unit.
Yes.
Into a family.
And like, if I don't have this book in front of me, how on earth am I finding my note? Okay. So my note is your note three measures before, but a half step up, you know? So like, I have to be listening to you. Then I have to hold that note. Then I have to, you know, and it was just like, really like that rehearsal process, the how incredible our MD was, like how prepared Annie Tipp was to be like, okay, she basically knew what she was doing in the outline of the show. And the staging was very simple, but very effective. And like Dave knew what he wanted, you know? I mean, he didn't really do a ton of rewriting. He did, like, in terms of, never mind, not that number. Here's a different number, you know? Everybody was just working as hard as they possibly could.
And you guys were on stage the whole time?
Yes.
Not only are you focusing on, you know, just, like, the music in general and, like, making sure that your part is going well, but I feel like there's definitely this other sense of focus that you need, or this muscle, this focus muscle that you're flexing the whole time, truly just to get to the end, I'm sure, but to be in the moment and to be with that, you know, that group. And that's so present in the story of the show itself. So I'm wondering how that might have affected your process, you know, while you're on stage and I guess preparing too, and like keeping that same focus 8 times a week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I really think that what I enjoyed so much about Octet was that, like, you always felt like you were part of the unit. You always, I mean, it was 8 people singing 8 different parts. So everybody is essential. And like, and it's really going to mess everything up if somebody goes out, you know? And so to that, and I also loved that everybody got a moment of individual sharing. So it was this wonderful thing where, you know, we're a unit, we come out, we sing, we tell our story, and we move right back to be that support system. And I think because the music was so hard, because it was so much fun to sing together, and because we had to be so supportive. I mean, the only time when you weren't singing backup is when you're singing your solo number. There was no time to kind of like zone out, you know? And so you just feel so well used, so important, and like everyone is depending on me and I'm depending on everyone else. So it was such a team to do a show like that.
I often think about how long, you know, when you have a longer run that's more than, I don't know, like, you know, 2-3 weeks maybe, trying to maintain the energy and the ability to do what you do, to recreate it, you know, 8 times a week plus, mm-hmm. and having to be on stage and having to be in that moment, I'm sure really helped keep you kind of like on edge a little bit. In a good way, in a helpful way. Would you say that was your experience?
Absolutely. I mean, I honestly don't remember us finding Octet particularly exhausting, because it fed us, you know? I mean, it wasn't a particularly long show, but it was a very dense show. And it also just felt like, because it's centered around people's relationship and addiction to technology, it felt incredibly important to be sharing that with the audience every night. It felt incredibly important to like take a moment to examine our relationship to our phones, our dating apps, our gaming, how we shame other people online. And so it also felt like, in addition to us enjoying each other's company and like being a unit, being a team, it also felt very important to be sharing this with the audience right now. I mean, honestly, it feels like even right now, like a year later.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, honestly.
It'd be like, totally crazy if you guys did like a virtual version of this, because that would be on like another meta level.
That would be right. So meta.
I wouldn't put it past anyone. I'm sure things are in development. But I think that was like another element of it, was that like people left that show sometimes not wanting to talk at all, but wanting to talk about and put their phones away, or like re-examine why they're using their technology and how they're using it. It felt almost like, I think some of the best theater feels like a service.
Sp- Special thanks to Page to Stage's Margot Dina and Brian Sedita for allowing us to share their conversation with Margot Seibert. You can subscribe and download to Page to Stage wherever you listen to podcasts, including Broadway Podcast Network at bpn.fm/page-to-stage. The Ensemblist was produced today by Jackson Klein and me, Mo Brady. There are two great ways you can be helping The Ensemblist right now. One is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and the second is by becoming a Patreon member, which you can do at patreon.com/theensemblist. Please follow The Ensemblist wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that be on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or our home of Broadway Podcast Network at bpn.fm. You can also follow us on Instagram for all of the latest episodes. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUFS. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, SUFS celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. SUFS has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.